Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
So what are we actually talking about? So can I just say this? That if we look at it a wee bit more detail, everybody knows what it feels like to be offended, don't we? Amen. You know how it feels? Everyone say yes, Andrew. The rest of you, Mother Teresa's, you're all liars, all right? You know, it can feel, the definition of it actually, it's we need to understand very clearly, because what happens is emotions can cloud what's actually going on. Because if I was to define offense for you, it's to feel injured, yeah? To feel humiliated or offended, to be annoyed, and to have a source of annoyance, displeasure or anger. It's all about how we respond emotionally, and that's what the world says. It usually starts with somebody cutting across you in some way. Your values, your thoughts, your opinions, something that's important to you, what you believe. Now, there are tons of things. Let me just say this, because offense is not just one across the board kind of blanket thing. There are many causes when you're rejected by people. Now, I cause offense all the time, and I don't mean to. But the higher, honestly, though, but the higher you are in leadership, in a position wherever you are, you inadvertently cause more offense. Can I just say, and leaders don't mean to do it, but they generally do. Because that you have so much more expectations and managing expectations of all sorts of different kinds of people. So sometimes people feel rejected by me, and if you ever have done, I'm really sorry, but it's never my heart and my intention to do that. You know, people who are not included or get forgotten about, they get offended. When our opinion is ignored, you ever had that one? This is just my list, all right? When people disagree with us, well, I get offended by that. When I don't get my own way, anybody? And there are people who, what about people who actually do well and succeed? They can be dead offensive. What about the truth of God's word? Oh, it can be really offensive too, can't it? Actually, there are many things that offend us, and the truth is we're offended way too often, way too easily. Actually, there's three main types of offense, and I want to help you get some clarity about what goes on in your heart. First one is direct offense. So I say, you say to me this morning, where do you get dressed in the dark this morning, Andrew? Look at that jumper, the hack of you. So my grandmother bought me this. No, she didn't, she's dead. Penny's mother bought me it, and the kid's granny bought me it. But this is where, you know, someone's direct. So number one is a direct offense. That's really easy, isn't it? Because you can go, flip me, you can highlight the source, and you can go, he said that to me, or he looked at me a bit funny, or I didn't like the way he said that, I'm just going to take the hump. And then Jesus is going to come along and say, you're right to take the hump, get out of that church. All right? The second type of offense is a given offense. So this is offense when you offend somebody else, but you didn't try to. All right? Hope, that's awful. Now, I didn't try to offend her, but I did. All right? You may have been, indirect offense looks like I might have tried to be honest with you, you know? Some of you were probably offended by the fact that I said this morning, you'll never make it on your own if you don't commit to the family of God. How dare you? It's Jesus and me. I can watch Joseph Prince and Andrew Womack podcasts in my house on my own. I don't need the church. And how dare you offend me? I bet you some of you had that reaction. And that's kind of the reason why I did it at the start, so I could reference it now in my preaching. But that's the truth. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm just telling you the truth. But you kind of go, well, you know, how dare you cut across me like that? Because I've already created all the reasons why I don't have to do that. The third type, and this is the worst type, so you've got direct and you've got indirect. The third type is borrowed offense. This is real stupid. This is when you get offended over something that was absolutely nothing to do with you in the first place. This is why gossip kills. We've had people walk out of here going, actually, can I just say, after I was traveling to somewhere, Israel, did I tell you it was in Israel? And I met someone in the airport who used to come to this church, and he left, never told us, just because he gossiped with people in the church. And then when everything happened with this other guy who apologized to us, he didn't have the guts to come back and say, I'm sorry. But so I bumped, and it was one of those awkward ones for me. I bump into them at the airport. And you go, oh, here we go. But we ended up having a coffee together. And he said to me, as my flight was called and I had to go, he just said, look, and in fairness to him, he said, before you go, I am so sorry that I ever treated you the way that we did. I didn't mean to. I went, that's okay. I said to him, that's why you don't listen to gossip. Have a great flight. I'm away. I thought, I'm going to make my point. To go, you got offended over somebody else's offense. Isn't that bonkers? Let me rewire that one for you. You're going to let the blessing and the goodness of God in your life be nullified because somebody else is bent out of shape and twisted? Are you crazy? Well, I heard that she said this. Did you hear about? She said what? Oh, she said that. She did not. That is awful. Too real. I'm trying not to look at anyone in particular. It's really hard doing the talk like this, because then you look at people and they go, God, is he talking about me? Oh, Jesus, let me repent right now. Because we've all done it, haven't we? Can we just be honest? Come on. Of course we have. But thanks be to Jesus, there is grace for our mess. Amen. Where there's sin, his grace abounds. Let's not get religious about this stuff. Indirect or borrowed offense is to me, is the epitome of complete bonker madness. All right? So somebody else is bent out of shape, and you meet them for a coffee just to see how they're doing. You know that one? Just felt like just needed to share. And then you listen to an hour and a half of their crap, and it's terrible. And I'll tell you what it does, is the next time you look at the person that you gossiped about, you see them differently. Seeds planted into your life and into your heart. And the enemy has a field day. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Jesus. I'm under grace. But I'm holding this in my heart now over somebody else's stuff, about somebody who the Lord calls me to love. And we wonder why. Sometimes it's hard to get breakthrough. This is why the disciples went, seriously, Jesus, we need help. Seriously, we need help. Help us. I'll go for the raising the dead people. Right? That's way easier than this stuff. That's essentially what the disciples were saying. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Because he gives us grace to overcome. I need to plant the seed here early with you, and then I'm going to stretch it out over the 3 weeks. It's funny that, how do you know if you're offended? Because let me just help you with this. Because most people go, I'm not offended, brother. Jesus has just flown out of my life with so much power and grace, it's unbelievable. I would never be offended by a soul because I'm just too loving. Well, okay, so let me just help you with a few things that the Lord might be able to point in your life. People who are generally offended might be selfish, proud, self-centered. If you don't get your own way at times, you just feel like, how dare you? Insecure. If you generally feel rejected by most people, there's a root of offense in there. Negative people. They tend to believe the worst about people and not the best. That wee juicy bit of something you heard. Like, people are really nice, but did you hear about, oh, really? He said, what? They're miserable. More miserable than the person actually causing the offense normally. People are, if you feel stuck, I don't want to joke about this one. If you don't feel like you're making a lot of progress, even in your journey of grace, then listen to me. Because normally, it's about offense in there that the Lord needs to help you. Because remember, it's pride. Whenever we feel hurt and rejected by people, what happens is, if we have no way of being healed and released from that, we turn in on ourselves. And our attention is now about us and what we're doing and what they did to us. And how we are justified in feeling like this. And therefore, we get stuck. They're not free, but you know people who bring unhappiness with them, and it's clear to the world. So, in fairness to me, in summary for me, it doesn't feel like much of a fair exchange, because the pattern is this: the more of self there is and the more of pride there is, the more miserable and unhappy you are. Now, there's something in the Word's going to help you with that, because I want to leave you in the last sort of 10 minutes going, well, how are we going to break this cycle over the next few weeks? And I'm just not going to say, let Jesus love you. That's going to be part of it. First of all, let's see it the way that God sees it. Okay, so number one, Luke 17:1, Jesus said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him, through whom they do come. Right. So that no offenses should come. The Greek word for offense is a picture. It's the word is scandalon. All right? In Greek, it's 4625 if you want the reference. Now, what was a scandalon? Because it was something. So whenever hunters were trapping animals in those days, what they would do is they'd create a trap, and scandalon was the bit of the trap where the bait was hung. All right? And the way that they would lure the animal into the trap was to hang the bait on scandalon. That's what it was. You're starting to see where I'm going with this? So the picture that we get when Jesus uses this word, when he said offenses will come, you start to see the pattern of why it's crazy to live an offense. It's going to block God in your life for sure. It's going to block that Holy Spirit flow in your life when you live bitter and angry and twisted. But actually the whole point is it was always a trap from the very beginning. God says offense is like the bait in the trap. And it's what the devil uses to lure you into a lifetime of what? Bitterness and unforgiveness, because that leads to resentment, hatred, rejection, isolation, and separation. And when you look at that, you kind of go, that's why I encouraged you last week for some of you to get off Facebook. Some of you did it and some of you didn't. I know that. But there's so many ways that you can be lured into offense with people. You know, it's interesting, the world says you're the most important thing. Your feelings are the one things that matter most. Get it off your chest. Put the other person in their place. It's okay to talk about them. Run their character down. Justify yourself. Excuse your own actions. Give place to your anger. Gossip, even if you want to, get even. And the whole thing Jesus is saying is all you've done is walked yourself into a trap and you've taken the bait. Do you see how it's the devil who baits you with offense and not the Lord? The Lord's leading you to freedom. The trajectory of self is into a trap where you will live bitter. And that's what scandalon actually means. Other translations say stumbling blocks. But what happens is this. Bait is there. And this is what we need to be honest about. You know, it may feel good. You know, why do animals take bait? Because it looks good. It's not that it's stinking. It's not that it, you know, and here's the interesting thing when we feel like somebody's cut across us. It feels good or it looks good. It promises us release to do all of these things that I've just described. It promises you something that never materializes. You never find freedom. You never find hope. You never find restoration. You never find freedom in any way. But that thing of living in offense was a promise that turned into a trap. Bait's there because it looks good. I found that many times where I felt like the only way I can be have this catharsis in my life actually is to, you know, have those wee moments even between Penny and I where I go, can I just say something? And you kind of go, even in the saying of it, you realize this is crap, isn't it? But for a wee minute, it just makes you feel a wee bit better. But actually it doesn't, because all you've done is stepped into a trap and put layers around your heart, which has stopped you from finding true freedom. That's what happens with offense. So offense is this, multiple opportunities every day in church and in life for you to take the bait and entrap yourself. That's all that's going on. That's what Jesus described. And the very root of that is pride. So let me just tell you very quickly, and then I'm going to finish, how this works, what the progression is, and how we're going to deal with it in the weeks to come. This is how it actually works. Here's the progression of pride. Something happens. Somebody cuts across you. You feel offended by what somebody does or doesn't do, or you indulge in gossip, and therefore you start to hear things about somebody else, and it puts something into your heart. That sits there because you have no way of dealing with it, no way outside of grace to find freedom. What happens then is you lose your joy. People lose their happiness. You know, if it happens in church, then people don't want to come to church, because they're critical of everything and critical of everyone. They begin to see wrong where they used to see right before they were offended. They used to think that things were lovely and they would have had a good report and rejoice in those things. But your joy turns then to being critical, not just towards people, but also towards the church. The next thing that happens is the offended person, you lose true perception. It's funny, offense is like glasses. You put them on and all you can see is everything through the lens of those glasses. As Andrew Womack calls it, you have speculative imagination then. Isn't that right? your imagination runs completely wild, and you start to believe that actually people are the worst caricatures and they're all out to get you. Infamy, infamy, they've all got it infamy. Remember that? Never thought I'd quote a Carry On film, but there you go, infamy, infamy, they've all, I've never watched it, Penny did, and but they've all got it infamy. Cracks me up. And then, but all the time, what Satan is saying is, listen, there's just a fence, okay? My rights, my feelings, pride, 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 pride. Take the bait, make yourself feel better, but you walk yourself in to a lifetime of misery. Scandal on. I've got to tell you, we're made for so much more. This church is not subject to the spirit of the age. You're not. And that's why I love the gospel of grace. Can I say this to finish? We have to allow love to keep us from offense. We have to allow love to keep us from offense. You will not be able to stop offenses coming, but you will be able to walk through them without them entrapping you and holding you and getting a stronghold in your life. But the only way will be grace, because grace puts Jesus at the center, puts his presence as your supply, and removes self. There's no other gospel does that. Every other gospel that gives religion and what you need to do. I have read so many books on this subject through the years, and it was all, you need to do this. Are you doing that? And the more I read about what I should be doing, the more despair I felt about where I really was. Because I know I should be more forgiving. I know I shouldn't live like this. I know I should try to visualize them in a good place. And, you know, goose fabois. Remember that? Goose fabois, that anger management. Goose fabois. In with the good, out with the bad. All that. I used to do that in the car. In with the good, Samuel. Out with the bad. Right? And then, remember, in that movie, he taught him saying, I feel pretty, oh so pretty. And I would go, I feel pretty, oh so pretty. Happy and laughy and gay. I feel whatever. I don't even know the words. This thing is not helping my heart, Lord. I still want to kill him. Right with the bad. Right? There's no other answer. It's too hard. It's Jesus and his presence. Amen. Let me read something to you. It says that in Proverbs 4:23, rather we guard our heart, right? And this disconnect from a life of intimacy and Jesus-centered living is what will lead you to want to take bait every time. Because when you don't find your healing and your satisfaction in the Lord and who he says you are, and he helps you to love, because there is nothing natural about loving people who hurt you. It is a supernatural love. It is a God kind of love. And if you disconnect from a life of intimacy with Jesus, that love doesn't flow in you. But when you abide in the presence of Jesus himself, then life will flow. You won't have to try. Listen to me. If stuff has been in your heart, you will not have to try any harder. You'll just need to rest more and to receive. Staying connected, John 15 style, to the vine and allowing his life to flow. That's the way that this works. That's the way, because there's no other option. Whenever someone cuts across us, when, you know, what happens when somebody cuts across you in whatever way? The reason why you react is you feel the need to defend yourself. So actually, if we were really to unpack this, like kind of cleverly, we'd go, actually, in that moment, what you believed is that if you don't stand up for yourself, then nobody else will. That's exactly what goes on in those moments. When you're Jesus focused, you go, he looks after me. That's the difference. So your defensiveness and digging in and protecting yourself is all about you protecting you and feeling like that's what you need to do. But actually, when you're Jesus-centered and there's grace flowing in your life, you go, I don't need to worry in this moment because I am secure, I am safe, I am provided for, I have a strong hope and a good future, and in this moment, I am free to love. As he has loved me, I am free to love this person and to live free. You don't need to protect yourself. Your offense and your unforgiveness is all about you looking after you. That's essentially what's going on, pride. And only when you live like that comes contention. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Let me read you these verses, and then we're done. A really good starting point for this is to go, because one of the things that we're going to discover about loving people is as we see them the way that Jesus sees them, because there's something in the whole thing of rebuking, which is about honor. And we're going to see that rooted in the original words and in the original language. So when Jesus rebukes these disciples, actually he's building them up. You know, like in John 15, when we talked about he cuts away, but actually that whole thing was about lifting up and washing. You know how sometimes the Bible has been twisted to mean completely the opposite to what Jesus actually meant? Well, Luke 17, that's happened as well. So we're going to look at what those words actually mean. And you're going to see kavod from the Hebrew, to wait, to give weight and to give honor, to love and to respect, is a way out of freedom. But let me just read Psalm 103 for you. Because what I wanted to do, what I've laid out today, and it's the beginning of a series, so I have to set the scene, to go, we're all normal, offenses come, but understand this, offense is always bait. You trap yourself because it looks good. You're buying a little bit of pleasure now because you think it's going to make you feel good, but it won't. It'll put you into a place that you didn't want to go to, take you for, what's the Andrew Mark say, you're going to pop your lunch bag or something? He has this funny expression. It's good though. Sin will take you further than what you wanted to go and do all that sort of stuff and pop your lunch and take your bag. Something like that. Help him, Jesus, because I've messed that one up completely. But actually, a really good place to start is to go, he loves me. Because the more that we're able to receive the love of God, the more we're able to understand this, is that the more I am loved, and loved means I am protected, I am provided for, reputationally in every other way. I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm complete, I have peace. All of that stuff, all of the goodness of God, as I dwell in his presence, connected to his life flowing in me, then I'm able to supernaturally flow in love. So what, do you know what has to be? As John said, Jesus has to become bigger, his awareness of his presence in our lives, that connection in those moments. And that's why, can I just say, it was a conversation I had over Christmas, was you don't get that from a podcast. You get encouraged and fed by a podcast, but it's not a substitute to having time where you sit and listen to the Lord yourself. Just say that. Some people go, I get fed because I've got 25 minutes in the car going into work in the morning. So just put on a wee bit of Andrew Toogood to get me going. That's good, and that will feed you, but it's not a substitute to having time in the presence of Jesus. That connection, heart-to-heart connection, right? No substitute at all. It's not about filling your head. It's about creating time where actually the Lord can speak. In those moments where he becomes bigger and his perspective, because offense clouds your perspective. You don't see things clearly. Everything you see is through self, and that always leads to complete misery. So let me just read this verse. Don't forget a single blessing. This is what I've thought on many times, this psalm, it's 103. At times when I just felt my heart would die, I felt like I was going to die, and my heart was so sad and so hurt and so painful. The only thing I could do in those moments was turn to Jesus and go, I need to replace even what I'm thinking with who you are. So don't forget a single blessing, it says. It says, he forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, and he saves your life. He crowns you with love and with mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. I used to dwell on this. God will make everything come out right, Andrew, and he'll put the victims back up on their feet. Is that not what our country needs to hear? Legacy, victims, he'll make it all right, and he'll put them back on their feet. Why? When? When they receive grace. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened up his plans to all of Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace. He's not easily angered. He is rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold. He doesn't hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sin. Amen. As parents feel for their kids, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out. He keeps in mind that we're made of mud. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show that they were here. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present. I remember dwelling on that, going, everything that goes on here in our lives. It's like, it's such a short time that we have. Listen to me. It's such a short time that we have. And at some point looking back, we'll go, it was like that. Don't waste it. The Lord used to minister this to me. Don't waste it, Andrew. But I feel it. I know, but your feelings aren't true. I'm really feeling it. I know, but your feelings aren't true. You need more love, more respect. Because do not waste your great future on something that happened here. When Stuart was giving his testimony, he said something incredible. He said some money added up all the stuff. It was less than a day, was it, or a day? And how the Lord showed him that was just a day, but there was all of this. You know, don't let that one day define everything. That's a choice. So I had to go back, and I started to meditate. Jesus going, do you see? And I start to get perspective again, and then just let me finish the last bit, because it's lovely too. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and their children. It says now, as they follow their covenant ways. That's what Jesus did for you. So I used to read to this point and go, he makes everything right for them and their children. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I am finished, okay? I am done. Do not this week take the bait. Don't do it. See it for what it is. And do you know how you're going to know? It's in that moment of going, I feel it. How dare they? Understand that at that moment, the devil has tried to bait you in, and particularly then tried to build on that by giving you opportunity to talk it through. All right? What I'm going to say is this. This week, in those moments, all your feelings will not fall into line straight away, but that's not the point. The point is to go, I will not live in offense. I will not block the flow of abundance in my life. I'm going to allow the Lord to minister to me and make him bigger. And you can memorize some of this, you know, this bit here. He'll make everything right for them and their children. He'll make everything right for me and my kids. He'll make everything right for Penny, Ben, Hope, Sophie. He'll make everything right. And if I'm the victim, because it's true at times where we're hurt, because people they did wrong us, he'll put me back on my feet, not me. And I could rest. Don't live in offense. There's grace to overcome it. Grace, the presence of Jesus, flowing abundantly to you. Amen.